We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, 2 days removed from the celebration of your birth, so much of the world has forgotten. And yet, in the quietness of this sanctuary, may we remember that gift, born unto a virgin, that brings life and salvation to light and overcomes the darkness of our lies. May we hear that word, and may that word take root in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, 2 days removed from Christmas. And much of our culture is done with Christmas. We're ready to move on to other things. That's the way it is in the 21st century. But wait, the church doesn't just celebrate one day. We celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And we leave the church decorated until Epiphany on January 6th. But how many of you are familiar with another celebration that takes place in England on December 26th? It's known as Boxing Day. No, it's not the day everybody boxes up their decorations and puts them away. It is a day because the rich have been served by their servants all of this time, and so they gather a number of gifts, put them in a box, and on that one day, December 26th, it is the servants who are lifted up, and it is those who have been served who serve them for the day. And it's known as Boxing Day. Roles are reversed. But when we come to the epistle lesson this morning, there in Galatians, we also read about a reversal that is far greater than just the masters serving the servants for one day. On our reading from the book of Galatians, for when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God. What a reversal! Christ took your place, my place. The Creator taking the form of the creation so that He might accomplish for us what we were not capable of doing. You see, Christmas was the real Boxing Day, when God sent His Son down to earth. We struggled living under the law. We were tied to the law. We were slaves of the law, slaves of sin and death. It was the law that dictated what we are to do and not to do. It made demands upon us. And we came to the realization, living under the law, that this law could never free us. Sin, death, and the devil continued to abound in our lives, and we were slaves. Think about that. When Jesus confronted the Jews, they were upset because He had implied that they were slaves. And as we know from Scripture, they reminded Him that they indeed had never been slaves to anyone, but He knew the real slavery that was in their lives of sin and death. We too have never been slaves because we are God's chosen people. But is that, how do we see that in our lives? How do we live that? We still live under the law. We still live under the pressure of the law. You see, those children knew that they were not slaves because they were God's chosen people. But the reality was what they saw around them and what they saw in their history was anything but freedom. They traveled through the wilderness. They built a great nation and watched it disintegrate. They found themselves in exile, and from exile, they wondered, what went wrong? What happened? And then after the exile, they were sure, oh yes, if we would just keep the law. And so they developed those 613 ceremonial laws. And if Israel, just on one day, could keep all of these laws, the Messiah would come. What of you? And yet, it wasn't possible. People went out of their way to just do that, but the problem was, it was impossible for us to live under the law. Well, you see, verse 5 is important. He came to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. What a beautiful passage that is. Think about it. You and I have been adopted into the kingdom through our baptism. God has called us His own. Look at your own life. Just take the last 24 hours. How many times have you missed the mark? Lived that perfect life? Or failed to do what you should have done. In the last 24 hours, have you had anger, bitterness, selfish, lied? Oh yes, we could go on and on and on, because that's the reality of this life. Living under the law, we are failures. And yet, we are not failures because we have been adopted as God's own sons and daughters. We are always trying to earn our way. That's what oftentimes happens under the law. We think that somehow if we would just do this, or just do that. You know, if we just had a little bit bigger paycheck, we could buy more groceries. If we just had a little more affection by the ones we loved, things would be better. We're always trying to earn something. But unfortunately, they leave us as slaves. And as a slave, I do not have a pass to eternal freedom. But you see, that's what Christmas Eve was all about. That's what Paul was writing to the church in Galatia about at just the right time. He sent his son, God's son, into the world for us. Enough will never be enough. In our lives, we always think if we just had this little bit more, everything would be better. But when we get that little bit more, is it really that much better? Or do we just now change the tone to if we just had a little bit more, things would be better? Sin does not bring about salvation. Sin does not free us from slavery. But being adopted as God's children, what a powerful gift that is. And so what Paul is talking about here in the book of Galatians is the fact of slavery and being adopted, and that difference between the two, the power that one gives us. Adoption is powerful. Paul writes about being an heir. And an heir meant you had something you inherited. And as Christians, that's the good news we share. We have an inheritance that neither spoils nor fades, but has kept up for us. A wonderful inheritance. It is an inheritance that cannot pass away. God has prepared for us our eternal destiny. Oh yes, we can't escape the power of sin. We can't escape the power of suffering and death. But God sent His Son to suffer all of that and to die on a cross. And through His death, to bring forth an inheritance for each one of us. God reversed the roles when He came into our lives. In becoming man, He took upon Himself our sin, our death, the power of Satan, and He carried it to the cross for us. And therefore, you and I are free. Free to be who we are. Free to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about what that means for the life of the believer. Sons and daughters of the King. Heirs of an eternal inheritance. And we have that through faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through the hearing of the Word. Through being been fed through the sacraments. We too can say, Abba, Father. For He has accomplished for us. And it is the Spirit who works that faith within our lives, even when we are unsure what to pray. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to lift up our hearts and our voices to our eternal God. We all know what inheritance means. It means we have certain rights. And you see, as Christians, we have an inheritance that will not spoil nor fade. It's kind of neat. In the United Kingdom, they still honor that Boxing Day to remind themselves of how special it is to have those who serve us and to reverse roles. But we have an even more special gift. God sent His only Son. And in that Son, He gives to us life, freedom, freedom to be who we are. Not because of what we are able to accomplish, but because of what He has accomplished for us, taking our place. So remember, as we celebrate in these 12 days of Christmas, Christmas celebration isn't over. We still have a couple of celebrations to come as we remember that great gift given to us. And so we live being free, free to be who we are in Christ. Amen.